This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, time for the What's Brewing Show.
Hello and welcome to What's Brewing Part 2. The show got so long, I split it in two. So you previously just heard us talking about UCLA beating Washington. What a great game, right, Jamal?
Of course. Yeah, we go long when they do well.
This is the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network. And I split this episode in half because we did 2 hours for you, the people. Now you're going to hear our thoughts on the Utah game. And our What's Brewing. But first, we're going to do the What's Brewing Symposium. So thank you for your support.
Do you think we drink too much?
No, we don't drink too much. Men face reality, women don't.
I hate it when podcasters talk about what they're drinking.
What else am I going to drink, Bob? A fucking Fresca?
We don't have Fresca tonight. We have some ginger beer here. But thank you for joining What's Brewing Symposium. We appreciate your support. Patreon.com/What's Brewing Show. Jeez, I haven't even had anything yet. And or just What's Brewing Show.com. Tonight, you know, it's kind of hard to find a Utah-themed drink because they got weird laws over there.
Water.
And it's Utah.
Water.
Although, good job, Mike. When I was in Utah last year, the year before last, there was a lot of really nice restaurants and bars there. And I did get some good cocktails. But as far as, like, stuff that's on the internet, there's some weird drinks out there. Tonight, I went with something called... It's from one of the gastro pubs in Salt Lake City, and it's called Harp and Hound, okay? And this drink is called My Favorite Redhead, and it calls for whiskey, orange bitters, maraschino cherries, a little bit of that cherry juice, and some ginger beer. And it's really more of like a highball than anything else. I had to take two attempts at it because Bill, the first one I made, was no bueno.
No.
It might have been the whiskey I picked. But, I mean, just put a little more ginger beer in it, and now it's I think it's kind of evened out a little bit. So now it's drinkable, for sure. I don't know if this is an A-plus one, but it's drinkable.
No, but it's drinkable.
Yeah. It certainly...
It's refreshing.
It kind of goes down like a highball, for sure. So cheers to you guys. Mikey, what do you got?
Well, I just finished, and I had
to... Oh, you just drank it!
Another. One of the drinks that you guys got me for my birthday last week from Paperback. You guys listen to me.
Yeah, we love you, Mike.
This one was really good. I haven't tried this. Super fun, hazy hop. Very spirited flavor here. Very hoppy, obviously. But very good. Very smooth and no weird aftertaste. I quite like this. Everything that Paperback puts out is just really good.
So you did like it, Mike.
Very much so. Thank you very much, guys.
So for
we asked the guy on that one, by the way. We're like, he's like, if he likes Racer 5, is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
Then he'll like this one.
Yes.
So for just how much, Mike?
$2.
You can support the What's Brewing Show into the future on Patreon.com/What's Brewing Show or What's Brewing Show.com, and we thank you for your support.
All right, guys, here we go. The game that will be UCLA versus Utah. My God, it's going to be a big game. It's going to be at the Rose Bowl. UCLA is a 4.5-point dog. Let me rephrase that. Number 18, UCLA.
That's right.
Is a 4.5-point
dog. Screw you, FPI.
Versus
started at 3.5.
That's right. Versus number 11, Utah, 12:30. Jamal will not be able to see the game because he's celebrating the birthday of his eldest son.
Go Libra.
Damn kids.
I know. But hopefully Jamal can find in between.
Hopefully the replay is worth watching.
Or my wife's not giving me the side eye as I check my phone.
That's right. It's at 12:30 at the Rose Bowl on Fox. Once again, it is not
It's actually on TV?
It's on TV, not on the Pac-12 horrible network.
UCLA is going to play the second of what will be three Pac-12 Game of the Weeks in a row, I think.
That's awesome.
Well, no, I should take it back. There's a gap there because UCLA is on a bye week. But for UCLA, it's three games they're playing.
Yes.
That will be like the Game of the Week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, three games against potentially
assuming they
opponents.
Don't get their heads turned into canoes against the Utes. I mean, if it's competitive,
then there'll be three. Okay.
But also likely, considering that UCLA wins and Oregon doesn't crap the bed 2 weeks in a row to not be ranked.
That's true.
Exactly.
Very true.
Exactly.
Very true. So, guys, let's get into it. You know, the best part of this and the reason why we won against Washington was because...
My birthday?
Jake, you didn't even do trivia last week.
I did.
He did it really quickly.
What is Seattle known for?
He did. He said, screw you guys, homelessness, something.
Anarchist, said, depression, and
And he
know,
said, F
and
he
rain.
Was so mad. He was like, F you guys.
Seattle is one of the
trivia.
Coolest cities I've ever been to.
I love Seattle.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Seattle's
except
nice.
For the anarchists.
Yes.
I love Seattle.
Okay, well, get to your damn trivia, Jake.
Now it's time for Jake's Trivia, brought to you by Jake, bringing you all the coolest trivia of UCLA football's opponent for this coming week. And now, Jake.
Jell-O dishes.
Oh, nice.
Jell-O dishes. Is that one of the answers?
No. Jamal.
Yes.
Utah is known as the what state?
The honeybee state.
The beehive state.
Beehive.
Why is it known as the beehive state, guys? It's short trivia today.
A lot of bees.
Why is it the beehive state?
A lot of honey coming out of there.
Nothing new with bees. Or the fact that it's a metaphor.
Oh, it's the hairdos that they still wear. The women.
Dude, that's such a good guess, but no. It's really the beehive state because it's got a very religious kind of metaphor going in that the motto of the state of Utah is industry, and that industry is you better go around and build up church and do good things and make the church grow and all that stuff.
Oh,
and
so like workers.
Workers all part of a communal, you
and,
know,
and
contributing
the Mormon
to the worker
the
bees out there, you know, getting more workers,
give her
getting
the
more
jelly
Mormons.
And,
yeah.
And
jello
mold. And stay in your lane. Got it.
There you go. So, yes, even though Utah does got some
that
bees
is
in
a
it,
very, wow, that kind of takes a darker
what?
Meaning.
Jeez, Mike. I'm darker, but certainly religious in tone. And the metaphor carries through all the state buildings have big old beehives on them. And I think there's...
Jesus Christ, Bill.
I had to get some...
By the way, we don't empty that out.
I had to get to your cherry.
You just threw a bunch of freaking...
Ice. Ice, Jake. It's water that will evaporate in this hot-ass effing garage. It will be gone by
tomorrow.
I'm going
to get ants.
With ice?
There's booze around that ice, pal. Oh, my God. Anyways.
Hey, guy. There's booze. Pal. Hey, pal. Don't
hey, pal. What's last thing you heard
hey, buddy.
Say pal?
Don't call me buddy, guy. Don't call me guy, buddy.
Hey, pal, buddy.
That was good.
Can we move on?
Jake's.
I hate you, Bill.
Guys, don't murder each other. I don't want to go to court.
Give him half a drink, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, Bill. It's like we went to, it's like we went to the distillery over the weekend. Oh, don't Lord. Do it!
He's Mr. Burns with his come with his on. Lime Ricky.
Now I got to take a hose of that trash can.
No, you don't. There you
I'm
go.
Going to have to.
Right. There's sugar remnants on,
yeah,
on those
sugar
ice.
Yeah, there's sugar in those ice.
Bill?
The water will evaporate. The sugar shall not.
I'm not a super big fan of this, you know, redhead drink, but
I like
Bill,
it.
Man,
I ate
he
it.
Sucked that mother effer down.
Dude, I got that cherry.
He went for that redhead.
Holy smokes. All right. Anyways.
Giselle, hit me up on the Instagram.
What the hell? UCLA.
I think you got plenty of people hitting you up on Twitter. What are you talking about?
Stay on target.
Oh, we're bearing the lead there.
Get to the chopper!
Nobody wants to see me walk to my car, Mike. That's on. I'm married.
Can we move on? Seriously.
The redhead made me do it.
I guess. UCLA's taking on the Utes at the Rose Bowl this weekend.
What is a Ute?
It's an Indian
did
tribe.
You say Utes?
Yes, I did.
Speaking of Fred Gwynn, Munsters, the remake, not that bad. Not
isn't
that
it a movie?
Bad.
I'm pretty sure Fred Gwynn's dead, but anyways.
He is, but yeah. Rob Zombie remade it. The trailer looked trash. It's not that bad.
Car 54, where are you?
Go, Jake.
Get to the chopper!
And the rails have
sorry,
come
go
off.
Ahead.
I hate you all. Anyways, UCLA coming into this game against the Utes. Okay? Utah versus UCLA under Chip Kelly. Anybody know what the record is?
0-4.
No.
0-5.
No.
0-6.
0-3. 0-3. They canceled one of the games during COVID.
Okay, well, it would have been 0-4.
What's the average margin of loss?
Oh, 25
in those
points.
Three games.
Yeah.
25 points.
No. I
think I worked this out. Yeah, 17. It was like 23.
17?
I would say 23.
17 is like the most optimistic thing you've ever said. Jamal.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that bad? Because I know it's blowout. Last year was they weren't winning and they had to come back because DTR was hurt and Garbers was playing. And it was a closer score than I remember. I know they got blown out.
The last game was the closest score.
Oh, okay, so that's
but
why
their average margin of loss in Chip Kelly era
25
to the Utes is 32 and a third.
Damn, I don't remember those blowouts.
First game they lost by 31.
2019. They 18. Lost by 46 points.
Yeah.
49-3.
Jesus.
That was painful because it was like UCLA was rolling after that Washington State, and some of the games were looking good. Like, oh, Utah, we might have a chance. Punched in the mouth.
As Mike said, in 2019,
nuts.
They lost by 46. In 2018, the year before, they lost by 31. And last year, the best game against Utah, Chip
it's
Kelly's
like
Bruins have ever had, they lost by 20.
They lost by 20 still last year? Wow,
yeah.
I thought it was a lot closer.
Yeah,
Utah 44, ended 24. UCLA's two-game winning streak in 2018. You know, one where we thought, hey, yeah, maybe this Kelly thing's really got some legs to it. And then they ran smack right into Utah.
Wah, wah.
They ended UCLA's three-game win streak in 2019. Same story, only different. And they've won 5 in a row against the Bruins. What a shame. Right?
What a shame.
Indeed, what a shame.
What a shame.
How many games has DTR played against the Utes?
One.
Three.
Only one.
Only one, because he didn't play last year. I don't remember 2018.
2018, it was Walden Spade.
That's right.
Yeah.
2019
yeah.
is the one that DTR played in.
Exactly.
He 2020?
He didn't play.
It got canceled. And 21, it was Ethan Garbers because DTR got hurt against Oregon.
Yep.
The game that DTR played against the Utes.
What is a Ute?
They apparently like to kick the shit out of DTR because he had his worst game as a Bruin, arguably, against the Utes in 2019. That's when he threw two interceptions and lost two fumbles, and the Bruins lost by 49. You could argue that his other worst game was the one against Fresno State where he also fumbled twice and threw two interceptions, but I mean that Utah game was just soul-crushingly sad and horrible. And I think DTR is due for a good game against the Utes. He had a bad one, now it's time for a good one. But I guess we'll see.
And after 5 straight losses, with everything on the line, and the fact that I don't think UCLA is coming off of this Washington game going, oh, we can beat it. You know, we can beat Washington. We can beat anyone. I don't think they're doing that. I think what they are going to do, and we're going to get more into this, is that they're going to really assess what they're doing, who they are, and the fact that there's bulletin board material like this. I think they're going to have a strong showing.
I agree with you. We will see. As it stands, now Chip Kelly's Bruins are...
Chip Kelly?
4-8 versus ranked teams. And ESPN says that the Bruins have a 31.1% chance to win this game coming up. But who knows? 31's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? So as we head into this game, UCLA's offense versus the Utah defense, UCLA's defense versus the Utah offense, special team edge. What are you guys looking at in particular with this game coming against the... Oh, well, the first thing I want to get to is, what do you think about what Mike just said? You know, the last time they beat a ranked opponent, well, I think was when they beat LSU, and then they got bushwhacked by Fresno State. I think this game is different because there's no way they're going to overlook Utah, right?
No.
So on the flip side of that, Utah's there's a reason they're not going to overlook them because Utah's probably the best team in the Pac-12.
Yes.
At least from what we know so far. So... do you think that there's going to be a problem? Mike already said his opinion on this, that the Bruins are going to have a problem getting up for this game, or do you think they're going to get distracted by the fact that they broke into the top 25, they had this big game against Washington, they're riding high on an 8-game win streak, yada, yada, yada. Bill, what do you think?
I think, number one, they're not overlooking them. Number two, you know, it's going to be one of those things where we got to really pay attention to the defense. When I say defense, UCLA's defense, I hope they have a good game plan. The silver lining is, and I know it it's not much, but it's still an extra day. We played on Friday, guys.
That is true.
We played on Friday versus playing on Saturday, so we have an extra day to plan for this thing. So it was sort of like, I think Chip Kelly said, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but Chip said, hey, we can enjoy it tonight, but tomorrow we're really focusing on the next game, right?
Yeah.
Against Utah. So having an extra day might help, but and hopefully, not might, but hopefully help on the defensive side. Offensively, I'm not worried offensively. I'm not. We have a fifth-year starting quarterback. He's not the same person that lost 49-3.
No,
he's not the
not
same.
At all.
That, when I say
he's not this guy.
DTR just fumbled it again inside the red zone.
So he's not that guy. He hasn't been that guy for a while.
That's right. So I'm not worried
about
that. I really think, you know, any kind of weaknesses we might have on offense, I truly believe Chip Kelly will do his best to figure out a game plan, and more than likely his game plan will work if done correctly. It's just defensively is where I'm just scared. Now, you know, on the Utah offensive side, they lost their main tight end. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Mike.
Keith.
Huh?
I think it's Keith.
Okay, I thought it was different. Okay, I'm really thinking of a different last name. But either way, they lost their star tight end, but they still have a lot of offensive weapons. They have a quarterback who can run like DTR. Not as cool and hurdling people, but he is a mobile quarterback. So that's scary stuff. So that's what that's the big thing. The big thing is our defense versus their offense. Jamal, what do you think?
No, I don't think they'll overlook him. I think that this is a different team. This is a more veteran senior team than Chip Kelly has had in the past. I don't think they'll overlook him. I think they'll see this as another challenge.
It's not as much overlook as in they'll get a big head from what happened to Washington and then
there's
lose
no
their
way.
Focus.
I don't think they're going to lose
I
focus. I don't think they're going to lose focus winning against Washington.
That's the benefit of having a big game next.
Right. Yeah.
That's the way they'll see it.
If this was Arizona or Arizona State, I'd say, ooh, maybe.
I'd be real worried if Arizona State was this next game.
Yeah, but it's not. It's literally like back to back to back. Mike, what do you think?
Just what do you think are key factors in this game? Because you already said that you don't think they're going to be overlooked.
Not at all. Like Bill said, the offense, Chip Kelly always has a plan. The offense has never been a problem.
No.
They're going to find a way to cut up that defense on the ground through the air. The defense,
we hope.
I think we are going to find out. We found out a lot about the defense against Colorado, against Washington. If Bill McGovern can put together a game to where they really limit, and not just to the point where it forces the offense to have a shootout to score more points than the other offense scores, but to actually limit.
So I think it's whatever offense manages to score more points.
That's good advice. But actually from a scheme perspective, from a down-to-down perspective, if Bill McGovern puts something together to slow them down enough to where UCLA doesn't have to outscore them and just play their game.
That's a tall order against this team.
That is a tall order, but let me put it this way. What we saw last week gives me hope that that is a possibility.
Yeah.
And that is a possibility I have not seen in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could say, I think, like, can we just get a consensus here that we haven't gone into the Utah game under Chip Kelly with any more optimism than we have going into this game? Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah.
Cheers.
Right?
For sure.
Especially the fact it's at the Rose Bowl, right? It seems like the Bruins are peaking. It seems like, you know, if they're going to get Utah under Kelly, because, you know, who knows, it might be his last crack at it. Who knows? But
you never know.
And the thing that strikes me about this is these teams right now, you know, based on, you know, who they faced, you know, Utah obviously had that big game against Florida, which I think played over its head in the swamp in that opening weekend. And since then hasn't been that good. But in that game, they were good. You know, they were good enough to beat the Utes, and the Utes, you know, made a lot of mistakes. But statistically, these teams are pretty darn similar.
Yep.
The quarterbacks at this point are almost like mirror images of each other, you know, maybe, you know.
I think DTR is a little bit more.
Yeah.
Look, I
would have said the same thing last week. I think DTR is a step above.
Look, they are very similar in what they do and what they can do on the field. They might have a little bit different, you know, style in different ways or whatever. And some, and, you know, and rising strength of weaknesses are slightly different than DTR's. But as far as guys that make good decisions, that can exploit, you know, defenses on the ground, but also make the great throws. That's these two guys, and they're both really playing well this year. And that's probably going to be the X factor as far as, like, I think the offenses in this game have an advantage. And it's like, can UCLA's defense get as many stops as the Utah defense is going to get, I think, is the big key here. Yeah. But we also have to consider, too, that Utah's rushing defense is not as good as it has been.
No.
They had Devin Lloyd last year. Devin Lloyd was just
otherworldly.
He was all world. He was amazing. Me and Mike saw him at Pac-12 Media last year, and he was like the most impressive guy there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They don't have him. They have some young linebackers that are good, but they're inexperienced for the most part. I think they have like one guy that's a freshman. I think two guys that are sophomores and one senior guy. But their defense is not as good against the rush as it has been.
123 yards on the ground.
The Oracle, Chris Osgood, is suggesting that it might be time to run for the Bruins.
Really?
Might be. They have been.
against Utah.
Look at how they came out against Washington. They did not run. They passed, and then they.
Well,
ran,
that's
ran,
because
ran.
They had a weak pass defense. I understand that, but.
Well, I'm just saying that maybe they were definitely more pass heavy.
Yeah.
This season so far, mm-hmm. It might be time for that to switch around a little bit. I think that no matter what it is, they have to maintain the biggest key of the game to me, and then we can merge this into Bill, like just everybody's keys of the game. If you guys have any other ones, is they have to maintain some sort of balance, whether it's being run heavy,
oh, no doubt,
but having a lot of passing, or being a little pass heavy and supplementing out the run. They can't be made one dimensional, and that's what a good defense can do to you, is they can take something away completely and then make you more predictable. And the Bruins have not been that this year on offense. They've been very, very multifaceted, and they have Bobo, and they have DTR, and they have Charbonnet, and they have the other guys. They have to make sure that carries forward, and I think that starts with hopefully exploiting Utah's run defense first and then taking what you can from there. And a big part of that might be DTR.
And I'm sure Jamal wants to comment on this as well. I feel, I'm looking at the record here for Utah, and I'm looking at, okay, they lost to Florida. They lost to Kentucky. They beat South Florida, but barely beat South Florida, 31-28. They lost to Tennessee, right? And then they beat Eastern Washington. Okay. I'm sorry. When I say, did I?
You said that was Utah, but I'm trying to say Florida.
Sorry. I am sorry, guys. This drink is strong. There it is. So the Florida. So what I'm saying is the team, Florida. Yeah, the team that they lost to, the team that was supposed to be the benchmark of their season, at least in the beginning, at least, you know, preseason, they're not as good as we thought they were, right? And so Utah might not be, and you've already given some stats on it, Jake, Utah might not be as good as we think they are. They're still a good team. Don't get me wrong. Kyle Whittingham is a great coach, and he's going to get these guys ready to go. But it's just not as juggernaut-y, if you can use that, of a team than it was in the past.
I think that's very true.
Right?
I still think that they are, until proven otherwise, they're the class of the Pac-12. And
yes.
I think that the Oregon State game they had last week where they beat up the Beavs.
Nice Beaver.
That kind of like, you know, mitigated any sort of like they ain't played nobody type of thing. Because, I mean, we saw the Beavs competed against USC, and then we saw Utah just completely
destroyed them. Yeah.
But with that being said, there are some cracks in this armor of the Utes. And number one is the rush defense. Number two, Utah fans have been a little antsy in the pantsy about Utah's rushing offense. Because against the Beavs, they couldn't run the goddamn ball, man. Their three leading rushers had 18 carries for 50 yards. And then Cam Rising had 70 on his own.
Yeah.
Like, Cam Rising had to be their rushing offense last week because the Beavs tried to take it away, and they really
did. That's never good. That's a good sign when your quarterback can do that, but it's never a good sign when he has more yards than the other three combined.
Exactly. That's my point. And it's that's why one other thing, it's like Rising and DTR can really erase deficiencies for their offenses, but I think the team that can be the most balanced and that can be the most, you know, keep the defense guessing is going to be the one that Mike scores the most points.
So I think it's whatever offense manages to score more points
and thereby win the game, you know. But getting back to what we were talking about, Utah does have some areas of vulnerability that I think the Bruins can exploit. The other part of that weakness in their rush defense, their freaking secondary is no joke. Like, they have a legit pro back there who's going to be a high draft pick, and their pass defense in the Pac-12 is number one in almost every metric that matters.
Yeah.
You know, like, we were bragging about how the Bruins are, like, 6.2 yards per per attempt on defense against the pass. Well, Utah's like 5.8, right? And they're also like just pretty much everything. Yards allowed, yards per attempt, percentage. Utah's pass defense has been very, very good. Now, part of that is, well, Florida sucks at passing. They got four picks against Oregon State. You know, like, you know, so there is a little bit of a who do they play kind of argument. But at the same time, they've been good for quite a while. You know, it's not like it's not like there's anything new. You know, Utah's defense, even if they're young, they're going to hit you in the fucking mouth.
I was just going to say I agree with you on in terms of balance. If you're talking about the UCLA offense, if you can have DTR have doesn't have to have the outstanding game that he had this last week, just to mitigate the mistakes, decent enough in the air, but also have the run game going, then I think it's a recipe for winning, where you don't have to rely everything, just like we just said. You know, for Utah to have to rely on their last game on Rising to provide all the rushing, if in the next game DTR has a similar game like Rising did last week, but the rest of the rushing attack is going, then I think that's a recipe for a win. On the defensive side, I agree with you, and it's what I mentioned last week. It's if you stop the run and you're forcing a team to sort of just rely on one thing, you take that away from them, then you're going to have some success on defense.
No doubt. Another key to this game, I think, is that you look at the statistical profiles, and there was a cool tweet that we retweeted from Parker at Stats O'War, and it just had the advanced stat sort of breakdown of these teams, and like I said, they're very, very similar. A place where Utah has a very significant edge is in third downs on offense and third downs on defense. I think that the team that controls, that is able to convert the third downs in this game too, is going to be huge. I mean, it's kind of goes without saying.
That's a good point, because UCLA, I mean, even against, South Alabama, they had problems on third down. UCLA's defense stopping third downs. Even against Washington, there were a few times, but yeah, the fact that Utah is very efficient on third down, that's a scary stat.
And it, just to go by the numbers, on third down, UCLA is second in the conference in offense at almost 55% of their third downs are converted, which is very, very good. Mm-hmm. But Utah is number one in the Pac-12 at just under 29% on those third downs. So that's a strength versus strength. I think who wins that battle is going to be very determinative in who is got the upper hand on that side of the ball when UCLA is on offense. And on the flip side of that, Utah is fourth in the conference in converting third downs, also very good at just under 48%. And UCLA is seventh in the conference at just under 40%. So once again, you know, UCLA, I think, they've been real bad on like third and long. You know, it feels like to me, you know, when they you know, it's, we've been saying it, but we've been joking about it, like third and 12. Oh no, I guess the opposing offense has UCLA right where they want them. I don't think they can afford to give up too many of those this time. They really don't. Oh, Dodgers hit a home run. Look at that, Jamal.
Hey, Joey Gallo, you.
All right, you didn't strike out.
You strikeout machine.
Woo! So that is another key. The last key that I have for you guys before we can get to our predictions is they need to find a special edge. And that special edge needs to be on special teams. You know, for years and years and years.
Oh, so it's Magic Man. This is what you're saying. You're finally admitting to what's going to happen now at the Rose Bowl. Magic Man is going to just blossom like no other.
God, I hope so. But what I'm saying
sounds like he's getting his period.
Wow.
Didn't it sound like that?
Wow, I was going to go. I was going to make a Mayan Bialik reference.
But no, okay.
Wow.
Either way.
Wow.
What I'm saying is, that UCLA, you know, when I look at special teams, I kind of judge it on how many plus plays they have, how many negative plays they have, and then, you know, how many just, you know, if a special team has just a normal game, you don't even know they exist. You know, they make their easy field goals, they kick it off, they don't allow any big return yards or whatever. And when special teams wins the game, it's because they had a big return, or they, you know, pinned them behind the inside the 5-yard line on a punt, or they made some exceptionally long field goal, something like that, yeah. Right? UCLA needs more plus plays and special teams in this game than Utah does, and they need to limit the negative plays they have. And I have a couple things that I found very interesting, a very interesting stat that I haven't heard of from anywhere else, a What's Brewing exclusive. Touchback percentage. And what I mean by that is, because we saw Kaz rip off that 50 yards, should have been a touchdown except for that cheating-ass bastard from Washington tripping him, right? That leg whip. UCLA, every time they kick the ball off, 79% of the time, it goes in the end zone, and there's no return.
Yeah.
So far this year, UCLA's had to make a tackle on eight total kickoffs. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty darn good. I want to say that's like first in the Pac-12. If it's not first, it's like first, second, or third. Utah, on the other hand, when they kick it off, it's returned. It ends up as a touchback only 37% of the time. In the same five games, Utah has had to tackle on 20 kickoffs. And what I mean by that, and where I'm getting at here is, that means that UCLA may have, depending on the scoring,
opportunities
to break a freaking return. So far, Utah's allowed 150-plus yard return. So far, UCLA's had one. I don't know if that Allen play was 50 yards. We're going to count it as such because
it is,
if he didn't cheat
on the 15.
If he didn't cheat, it would have been. So there's an opportunity there for UCLA. If Utah is characteristic where they've been all season, there's going to be a lot of return opportunities maybe.
Yeah.
Unless UCLA shuts them out and then it's only one.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
My worry is that that Utah knows how to bring down Kazmir Allen. It's just to sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
But I mean, that's
got
that's,
a problem with that.
There's a lot of that's a pretty wide margin, and I'm curious to see how that works out. As far as punting goes, neither team has punted a whole lot. Utah forces the most punts per game in the conference at 5.5. So if we get to the end of this game and UCLA's punted 4, 5, 6 times, it's probably gone horribly awry, because I don't think any of us have confidence that the defense is going to get that many stops. We aim to get a few stops. And we need UCLA's offense to cook. Does that make sense, guys?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right. I thought so. All right. And also, UCLA's made a bunch of field goals in a row. Utah has not missed a field goal this year either. So the kicking game seems solid. We'll see how it goes. Bill, why don't we get to the predictions?
All right, guys. Predictions. I guess I'll start with mine. What is my prediction for the game in terms of the score? Well, let's go ahead and say I think it's going to be a competitive game, the most competitive game of Chip Kelly's tenure with Utah, but it's still going to be a loss for UCLA.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with 42-35.
Ooh, that's a high scoring game.
Yeah, 42-35.
What is the over under on this? Do you know?
Oh, I have it.
65, I believe.
Woo!
Bill, what was it? 42.
Bill,
42
take the over.
42-35.
42-35.
The over under is 65. Yes.
Wowza.
Yeah. So I'm over
Utah's
that.
Utah's a 4.5
Jamal.
Favorite on the road.
What are your thoughts?
My prediction, I actually think this might be a low-scoring game relative to what Bill is talking about. So I'm thinking UCLA.
Kind of like USC, Oregon State. Nobody expected it.
Right. I'm thinking this is going to be a 27-24 UCLA upset.
Oh, Jamal!
Wow.
California.
I think Barmira.
27-24, you say?
Yeah, 27-24 UCLA upset. I think Barmira pulls another, two for two, three for three field goals out of his butt and hits a game winner.
Jamal and everyone here, would you? And I know you. I already know Mike and Jake are gonna say UCLA is gonna win.
You don't know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But if they just played him,
I would like to say in the preseason, all of us predicted a UCLA loss. And
yes. So to say this, guys, if they play him competitively and lose by a touchdown or less, is that really something to hang your head on?
No.
I mean, I think that's
absolutely
still
not.
That's still a freaking good game.
It's just going to suck because the trolls are going to be like, well, they lost against a good team.
But if
UCLA loses within 5 and it's somewhat competitive, if it's just something like that's still something to hang your head
on. I think if they lose, if they cover, it's only like 5 or 6, I think they still stay in the top 25.
I think so, too. I mean, Washington.
I want to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, Washington.
So get to the predictions. 25.
Well, I'm just going to say if they lose like that, it's just because it's me. I'm saying ring the bell again because that's the way I feel after every damn loss.
Mikey.
UCLA, 35. Utah, 28.
Woo!
Go ahead, Jake. 1,000,000 to 1, right? What are you going to say?
No, 1,000,000 to 1.
A trillion to a billion. It's going to be a high-scoring game. What do you got, Jake?
I say UCLA. What should I say? 33.
Stick to your guts in the preseason, a-hole.
I know I should.
How about that?
I should. UCLA 33. I'm going to be there, though, so I don't want to predict a loss. Whatever. UCLA 33, Utah 30. That's where I'm going.
Nice.
I would like to see a low-scoring game. I would have more faith in UCLA going forward if they can pull off a win in that type of game. I know that's a weird thing to say, but it's just like one of those things where it's like when every play can turn a game, and you're the one coming out positive, then I would feel differently about the program than having to, you know, just like, you know, either having to get up big or have to try to come from behind like they've had most of the program.
There's one thing I do want to say, and another reason why I'm predicting a victory, just because I want it to happen, I want to will it into existence, is that there is one major, major bonus if the Bruins manage to somehow get a victory in this game. And we know what it is. And the bonus is more for us as fans than it is for the players, because of the players, only danger lies here. But if they win this game, they go into a bye week. And we have an extra week of just being on top of the world, 6-0. They will certainly, by the time they get to Oregon, be in the top 10, right? Like, Bill, you will be crowing like a rooster if they win this game, and you get to crow for 2 fucking weeks until they go up to Autzen and then put themselves in jeopardy again. So I'm saying, this is a really meaningful game of the Bruins of, I think it's very important that they compete and they don't get blown off the field. But if they win, oh my gosh. I mean, at that point, looking at the next three games, this is the last point, Bill, before we're going to move on.
Well, I got one point after.
Your favorite part. I'm sorry. Well, Mike, what's your point?
No, you go first. You go first.
Okay, I guess I'll go first. Looking at this dreaded stretch of games, the Washington, Utah, Oregon. We identified Utah, Oregon at the beginning of the year as being the toughest part of the schedule. Now that we're there, right, they have these two games. How do you think the Bruins respond? How do you think the perception is of the Bruins if they go 2-0, if they go 1-1, if they go 0-2? Meaning, like, if they go 1-2, does all of them go out of the balloon? Because I think if they would have lost to Washington, like, Chip Kelly may have been fired if they had gone 0-3 on the stretch. I don't think that's in play anymore. But what do you think happens if they go 0-2, 1-1? 2-0, and what do you expect them to do?
For me, I actually see them losing to Utah, but having, because of the bye week, beating Oregon. I really do.
And I think, look, I think we would all take that.
I'm okay with that, guys. I really am.
Would you take that, Jamal?
Yes.
Would you take that, Mikey?
Hells yeah.
So that's what I see realistically.
Whatever gets you to 10 wins is what I say. Whatever gets you to 10 wins. 10 wins to me is like the season. Regardless of what implications it is for a Pac-12 title, a bowl game afterwards, 10 wins, whatever gets you there.
If they go 0-2, though, how much of the air is let out of the balloon?
It depends on how they lose,
yeah,
I think. If both of them are close, let's say, just an example, they lose both games by 1 point.
They lose in overtime to the Utes and the Ducks.
Something like that. It's
no. If they lose to Utah, it's one thing. They need to beat Oregon. They almost beat them last year, and they weren't even as
good. 2 years in a row, they almost beat them.
Especially considering how they've performed this year.
You don't beat Oregon. To me, that's right now.
Have you guys ever seen a flock of ducks flying in perfect
Ducks.
Formation?
They're good enough to beat the Ducks. They should beat the Ducks.
Yes, they should beat the Ducks. But Jake's asking if they go 0-2. I'd still say that'd be bad. But if they beat SC, though, you didn't say anything about SC. But if they,
I'm just saying after they go 0-2,
and then they win the rest.
No, that week they go 0-2. What are people saying about the program?
No, it
depends how they lose.
No, it's the sky's falling again because you're talking about like. You're talking about it's the same as last year. They beat LSU. They've got some eyes on them, and then all of a sudden they can't beat Fresno State. All of a sudden they can't beat Utah. The sky will be falling, I guarantee it.
Not as much as it has been the last few years.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will, Mike. Come on.
With a certain sect of Bruin fans, but if there's going to be a difference. If they lose by 20 points to Utah and 20 points to Oregon, that's a completely different set of circumstances if they lose by 1 or 2 points to both teams.
No, I think losses to both these teams is enough for people to want Chip Kelly to be gone, because it's never going to feel like, if you're losing with your best circumstances,
Chip Kelly,
your fifth year quarterback, your Zach Charbonnet, who could be a Doak Walker, whatever the running back award is, nominee, one of the best running backs in the nation. You're doing all that with the offense, a decent defense, and you're still losing these games. People are going to be calling for Chip Kelly's heads because it's never going to get any better than this.
I don't know if it's going to be as bad as Jamal's predicting, but I really do think that if they go 0-2 on the stretch, that for one, Bolch's sharp knife is going to come out again, and it's going to be, instead of, oh yeah, they beat Washington in this big game, it's going to be, oh, look at the Bruins when they face stiff competition. You know, Chip Kelly is, at that point, then he would be 4-10 versus ranked opponents, and it, like, all those stats start flying
and
up
ranked,
again.
Ranked against Pac, and then ranked Pac-12 teams, yeah. It's going to, it looks, yeah, it's even on, worse. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Let's get out of here. Back.
In case you didn't hear that, Bill needs to get out of here. But we're doing Pac-12 talk real quick.
Cal will beat Colorado for their last win of the season.
I don't know. They might be motivated.
Jamal, pessimistic son of a bitch.
That's what I'm telling you. Last win of the season.
No, no, no. Really, and by the way, I'm rooting for Cal.
You're going to be Colorado. Colorado's terrible. They're going
to
be.
I don't know. They might be motivated after Carl Durrell left.
If they lose to Colorado, after then, us seeing Colorado, I mean, Wilcox needs to be fired right then and there.
Yeah, Colorado's terrible. I don't care.
But that being
said,
they're not going to lose to Colorado Sway. They're a mess, and they're going to lose. And they're going to lose. Like, they still might go 0-12. I don't know. They might sneak one out. But they don't really have any wins on the schedule, I don't think. But that's not really what we're doing Pac-12 talk about. It's really more of, we are once again the Pac-12 game of the week, but there's also a couple big matchups. USC, Washington State. How much of either of those teams you guys watched? And do you think Washington State, who for once is a good defensive team, not as much on the offensive end, but pretty good on defense.
They weren't playing anybody last week. Oh, wait, they were playing.
Yeah.
I would say if Washington State had any sort of running game, I would say, okay. Like, they would be, their defense is going to keep them in this game.
Yeah.
It'll keep them in this game, but they're not going to win because it just, they can't exploit. They're not going to be able to exploit USC's weakness, which is more of a weak run defense. What's the guy's
Caleb
name?
Caleb Williams.
The quarterback for Washington State.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about USC.
Oh, God.
That transfer guy.
The transfer guy. Sorry, I forgot his name. I think it's Cam. Something Cam.
No.
It's not. Okay, cool.
Bo Nix Jr.
No.
But either way. Bo Nix was.
Ward. Cameron Ward.
Oh, I was right. Cameron Ward. Yeah, there it is. I told you, Cam Ward. I don't think Cam Ward is a good enough quarterback to get SC on the, you know, in terms of the passing. So, you know, it will be closer than what you might expect, but SC is going to win.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Caleb Williams is an individual talent. Every time I see him out there, he's like hitting a guy with five guys around him in the chest at the back of the end zone, making crazy plays with his feet. There's no way Washington State's winning this game.
Latu's going to separate his spine from his lower half.
I mean, that's down the road. I tweeted out saying that
a bar-like sack.
This year's
no targeting
game might mean something for both teams, but
we'll see.
It's not going to be Washington State that makes Caleb Williams look bad.
I hope it means something.
Yeah. Oh, the enemy.
Eye on the enemy is just looking at the Bruins' opponent after the next opponent, and that would be the Oregon Ducks. Of course, those wimpy Ducks.
The Ducks? They're wimpy. They don't even have teeth.
Just something annoying that I would like to point out is that, you know, the Ducks are on a four-game winning streak after getting just killed by Georgia, which, you know, whatever. And they did beat Washington State in that crazy comeback fashion, even though they dominated the game. It turned in their favor. They beat ranked BYU, and now they beat Stanford, which, of course, everybody's going to beat Stanford. And now they're going to play Arizona at Arizona. They're going to the desert. They better not lose to the fucking Wildcats. If they lose the Wildcats, I'm going to be pissed, number one.
No kidding.
You got one job, Ducks.
Tell them.
Just keep your fucking ranking just in case UCLA pulls off the upset, and then you give them an opportunity to face another ranked team. Because if you lose to Arizona, I mean, I think they drop out of the top 25. Ducks, just hold up your end of the bargain. The other annoying thing about this, UCLA gets the advantage of a bye week when they face the Ducks up in Autzen for the last time before they go to the Big 12. Big 10.
Big 10.
What the hell am I talking about? They have a bye week. Well, guess what? The Stuart Ducks have a bye week too. That's effed up, Pac-12.
They do?
Give us the gamesmanship of a bye when we're going on the road to Autzen. You made us play Oregon 3 years in a row because of stupid COVID.
And
you
Washington.
Dicks. You dicks. Washington worked out okay except for this year. And even that worked out. But Oregon, I mean, come on. How many times are we going to face Oregon? I know you want to get the Chip Kelly versus Oregon matchup. They've been two great games. But seriously, we should have to play the Ducks again. But here we are.
So here we are.
I just didn't
again.
Know that they have a bye, too.
They have a bye, too. So yeah. But if... Yeah.
This is why we're leaving the Pac-12.
Just hope you're into the bargain, Oregon, and beat the Wildcats. And then UCLA, I don't know. You know, let's have a good game. Bill, that's all I got. Mike, you got anything?
Negatory.
Okay, Bill, what is it?
What's brewing with you?
What's brewing with you? You ask me. What's brewing with me? Yeah. What's brewing with you?
I want to keep Tyreek Hill.
Bill has asked me for fantasy football advice. I'm going to try to give it to him. Bill,
cheater,
what's
cheater, pumpkin eater.
I know. All right, so here we go, guys. It was my birthday this past weekend. It was Mike's birthday on Friday. Mike got
happy
fireworks.
Mike.
F you, you lucky SOB. Oh, you got some fireworks. Boys made breakfast for me on Saturday morning, which was awesome. Went whiskey tasting on Saturday night with Jake and Sarah. Here's the thing. The whiskey tasting was only one whiskey. I was like,
it was a whiskey in a pitcher bottle.
Seriously, I was like sitting there like, this is the whiskey taste.
Here's the whiskey. Here's the whiskey with ice.
Yeah. Here's the whiskey
with two ice cubes
in a paper
now.
Cup. Here it is in a glass cup.
We spent $130 on the worst Ubers in the history of Ubers.
Oh, my God.
We spent $130 on Uber?
Well, because
they were the worst Ubers in the history of Ubers.
We thought... I'd never done this before. This was a surprise from Suzanne. Yeah. Honestly, so I didn't know what to expect. I was thinking that
when I went to Lost Spirits in Vegas, I was turned.
Yeah. So I was thinking in terms of what we could buy there. I'm like, okay, we're gonna buy some alcohol.
We're gonna go have dinner or whatever, get drunk.
Yeah, dude. Okay. So we get there, it's in the arts district.
It was very nice though.
In the arts district.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Hipsterville.
It's very hipsterville. We get there. They're nice.
And there's a freaking guy.
Wait, where did you go?
Pissing on the sidewalk. That's like goes and gets into a Porsche and drives away.
Yeah,
I didn't get that. Was pretty fucking random shit.
Where'd you go?
Green Bar.
Green Bar is the name of it, and it's in DTLA.
Yeah,
and it's in the Arts District. Yeah. It's about a block away from Bestia. Do you know where Bestia is?
Yeah,
it's about a block away from there. Okay, if that tells you where it is. And so we're there. We walk in. These two ladies are like, hey, wait for the other people to come on the tour. We get in. It's a short tour. It's nice. They're nice people. Jake just falls in love with the tour guide because she went to Oxford and
she went to Oxford and she was a medieval lit.
Yeah, medieval lit major. Graduate. So Jake's like, oh my God, I love you. All right. So we go and, you know, it's a cool thing. We talk, you know, we learn about the different things there. They only have one whiskey. They have three vodkas, gin. They had some rum.
Rum was pretty good.
The rum was pretty good. Well, yeah, it was all right. But the...
It was good.
Yeah, it was cool.
You don't like rum. I like rum. It was good.
We went for the tasting. The vodkas were good. The whiskey was okay. Yeah. The gin was okay. So, I mean, it was fun just being there. And I started getting a little toasty. I got toasted because I'm weak sauce with my alcohol.
He so is.
I am. But this is why I needed an Uber.
But so, I didn't.
Because I thought we'd be drinking more, Jake. I didn't know.
So did I. It's okay.
And so we had a good time there. Came back and ordered food at home and ate and drank some more and had a aroma.
It was very nice.
Aroma test?
Yes.
What is
whiskey.
It
whiskey. Palate test.
Yeah, I suck at it. Suzanne's really good at it. That's all I'm going to say. She really is. She has a refined palate. I think I got 2 out of 10. Jamal, what's brewing with you?
I'm going to get nostalgic with you guys. Whenever it's October, I remember that it was the first time I got to come onto the podcast. So it's been 9 years. And
holy crap, you're right.
The reason why was because it was Bill's birthday. We were invited to his 35th birthday. He's working in the same company as my wife.
Yes.
So I got to meet Bill and Jake. I don't know why Mike wasn't there, but I got to meet Bill and Jake.
They don't invite me anywhere.
to his birthday party.
That's
at his
lie.
House.
It's a lie, SOB. You're a lie, SOB, Mike. You were invited.
Maybe you were covering a UCLA football game or something. I don't know.
Probably. You were invited, SOB.
But that 35th birthday party, wasn't that at like...
That was at his house.
Key Club?
No, that was at his house.
Yeah.
That was his house.
That's what I'm saying.
Christmas party.
No, that was at
his house. And all of you were invited, so F you all. Yeah. F you, Mike.
Yeah, so I was invited. I got to meet Bill and Jake dragooned me to come onto the Cal UCLA podcast. And as anything I've done since then... is because of these guys for our
We
listeners.
Love you too, Jamal.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
I would never have gotten to be able to interview authors, reporters on a podcast. I would never have been able to be a credentialed reporter myself as a writer in sports, writing for FanSided, whatever opportunities come. And on top of all those individual things, it's meeting these guys and they've become my friends, they've become family. Evan, my son, calls these guys uncle, and it's funny. And he loves when I put on the podcast because he's like, he thinks we're all famous. I tell him, well, only in our own minds.
Or at the UCLA,
or at UCLA game.
Or at UCLA game.
Section 16.
Yeah, I should.
Rise up.
You got to go to the game,
I
got to
bring Evan with me to a game with Jake because it is like walking around with the prom king. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. So, yeah, for our listeners who don't know this, yeah, it's been 9 years. Like, I hope in 9 years we're all stuck in a Winnebago. Jake is yelling at Bill about having take another bathroom break as we're going to some random college football game in some remote part of the U.S. But yeah, that's my What's Brewing. Just happy to be here for
Thanks,
9
Jamal.
Years.
Well, we're glad you're here, Jamal. We're glad you're here. And Sarah just came in eating. Oh, Mastro's.
From Mastro's, Jesus.
Nice.
Whatever.
Did you eat the whole butter cake?
No, I brought you home.
I love you so much.
Oh, whatever. You SOB, Jake.
Whatever.
I brought you two ribeyes.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, my God.
Effie, this is because... What's brewing?
I guess Jake has his What's Brewing.
And then what happened? We all tackled Jake and stole his ribeyes.
No, you guys have the steak. I'm taking the butter cake. The butter cake is...
Except the vegan.
Bill is never allowed to eat a butter cake from Mastro's. From me ever again. This never again. Never gonna happen. That's
Sarah, can I be your plus one? Do you need a Spanish translator? What's going on here? Where are you going to master?
Mike, what's brew with you, man?
Really quickly, the place that you went to, how close was it to Angel City Brewery? You were in that area, right?
It's called Green Bar. So yes. Just look in Green Bar.
I'll check that out real quick.
Green Bar was the name of it. We're talking about how we thought we were going to get a little wasted at the thing and realize we didn't.
Sarah, how great.
Oh, wow. You guys.
Sarah, come here. Come here.
You guys were in the
talking
south.
To Bill's mic.
Speak for yourself,
describe the
Mr.
Uber.
Tipsy.
Yeah.
I know.
Describe
was,
the Uber.
Which one? The Glorious right there in the tiny little sedan with three people in the back
that
seat?
That was $50.
Or the minivan with the middle seats pushed all the way back against us and the back seat vertically upright.
Yeah, that was $70. And the guy who...
And the driver who drives with 2 feet... Gas break.
What a cock.
Like
that guy was such a dick.
He wouldn't even speak to us when we were trying to get out of the car and trying to move the seats.
It's the only non-5-star Uber review I've ever given in my life.
Seriously.
God, that guy was sucked.
So you guys were in you guys were in the south part of the Arts District. Not in the heart of it.
Oh, I don't...
Not that I'm trying to be all geographically...
The beating heart.
The beating heart of the Arts. Yeah, why? Exactly. You see where Green Bar is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the edge. It's like right next to the river.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Down by the river.
The river of piss that the guy peed against.
Yeah, we're
I already said that. Thanks for the recap. Anyway, I had my birthday weekend as well. Spent the Friday, where it was my actual birthday, with some of these gents. And
fireworks, Mike.
And 41,000 of my best friends.
I know, you SOB.
It was good to meet everybody. Down there, you know, Jake's entourage, Leo and Nancy.
Jake's entourage.
Prom King.
I'll take it.
The Prom King.
I'll take it.
But yeah, on Saturday, I talked about this last week. You know, me and the kids, they have gotten into David Bowie pretty heavily. So we went to go see the documentary. And it was very, very, it was a very artsy documentary. So my oldest, she was totally into it. But the two younger ones were like, are we leaving yet? You know, they were kind of into it. And it was weird because their favorite song is Starman. And Starman, they played during the end credits. And Hugo, as we're leaving, he goes, oh, now they play it. I'm like, I love you, son. I love you. The fact that you are so cynical and picky about this shit. I love you. But yeah, no, we just chilled out because after that, even though this football season has just taken off very quickly, having a Friday night game allowed me to have my own Saturday and then my own Sunday. So me and the kids just chilled out, watched some TV, kind of caught up on like the She-Hulk and Andor and all
I
that.
I need to watch that.
And that. So you know, it was just a nice, chilled out, relaxing weekend. And that's all that I wanted for my birthday. But now it's back to full force. I'm going to see Suede in a few weeks. There are a couple other bands that I'm going to go see. Jake, I got to talk to you about this afterwards, but there's this band called, I'm blanking on it, but they're playing at Zebulon, which is actually a really cool spot in the Atwater area. I'm blanking on the name of the band, but have you heard of Zebulon? It's by you.
Isn't that the guy that did Brooklyn Nine-Nine's production company?
No.
Remulon.
No.
Zebulon was one of Dwight Schrute's relatives.
That's right. Yeah. On the Beat Farm.
Yeah. Anyway, Tremors. They're a shoegazy band.
Great
they're playing
Kevin Bacon movie.
But they're with a U.
It is.
But they're Tremors with a U. Ah. It's the British Tremors. Oh. So anyway. I'm just back on the trail again after this kind of chilled out weekend. Although I get a bye next weekend, so that's kind of cool. Had a really fun birthday weekend. It's always a good birthday episode here on the What's Brewing show. But Jake, what's brewing with you?
I guess we can indulge ourselves. We're almost at 2 hours on this goddamn show. I'll probably split it in half with this being said. But the year, more than a birthday story, the year is 2015. Bruins are on the road.
I didn't do it.
In Las Vegas at UNLV. They win 37-3 at Sam Boyd.
Oh, that was fun.
Sam Boyd Stadium. Mike was there. Bill was there.
That
was
the
there.
Best parking because we literally came up. We were running late. There was like a storm. We were running late. We get there and like, okay, where do we park? And they're like, you know, just... I was going to put you in the slot, but just park right there. And it was literally about 150 feet from the entrance.
You could buy a whiskey at the stadium. It was the first time I'd ever bought a drink at a stadium, I think, because all the games I've been to before, I was a non-drinker. And then I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. But it was also, it was around our birthday weekend time. This was September 12th. So it was a little early on it, but it was a birthday trip. And we all went to
Mastro's
Ocean Club at the Crystal Mall in the middle of the Las Vegas Strip.
It's a nice mall.
Yeah.
It's a fancy schmancy.
I was bouncing around different steakhouses to go to. We were going to go to BLT, which is one that Sarah and I like because of the popovers. But Bill and Suzanne, at their urgings, like, no. We have to go to Masters. We have to get the butter cake.
It's so good.
It is so good. And I said, okay, fine, Bill. We'll meet you there. It was me, you. Mike couldn't go. He was doing something. But you were invited, Dick, so I don't want to hear it.
No, oh, I know.
No, F you, Mike. You've been trying to make us feel guilty. You've been invited to both things. You're like, oh, sorry, I wasn't there.
Woo!
You ditched us.
That's not the point of the story.
You ditched us, Mike.
Not the point of the story. Me, Bill, Suzanne, Sarah, and Lady Di and the P Hill.
Yes.
We're all there. We meet at the Mastro's. We sit down to eat. I order a steak. Phil orders a steak. Dana orders some chicken. Sarah orders some prime rib or whatever. Bill and Suzanne sit down. They're like, oh, no, you know, we just had a bite a few minutes ago. We knew about this dinner days in advance, by the way. No, we're just going to eat light because, you know, we're just here for the butter cake. They have like a fucking salad and an appetizer or some shit. We have our meal. It's wonderful. It's Mastro's. Can't go wrong.
No, it can't.
Then it comes time for the
butter cake.
And the waiter comes by and says, oh, so what would you guys like for dessert? And I said, okay, well, like, how many desserts do we want? Bill's, like, cuts me off. Oh, no, you only need one. Like, you get the butter cake for your birthday, right, Jake? Yeah, you only need one. It's so rich. And it's so rich.
It is rich, by the way.
So we ordered one fucking butter cake that is, by the way, about 3 inches in 3 inches in diameter.
I love it.
Things you never want to hear.
They bring this out there. They bring this out there for six fucking people. And we all get a bite of my free birthday butter cake, and I'm sitting there fucking staring bullets at Bill going, you motherfucker, you fucking cheap motherfucker, influencing me to get this goddamn...
Was it a good cake? If you would have had a whole one, you probably would have
loved it. Yes, if I would have had a whole one, it would have been awesome.
So you're saying I should have ordered two?
Yeah, maybe. I love you, Bill. I love you, Mike. Jamal, I love you too.
You just sort of like me.
Bill, end this goddamn show.
Guys, once again, thank you to the listeners that I finally met. Finally. Not on social media, but in real life, which is how it should be. It was nice to meet all of you guys. Thank you. Yeah, it really is. It really is. So, guys, thank you once again for a great show. 2-hour show of amazingness. And after a great win, I like to say with oomph, go Bruins!
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, bro, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.